Haggai chapter 1, we'll be reading in beginning in verse 5. Haggai 1, verse 5.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat and have not enough. Ye drink and are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon the ground which it bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today that we serve a faithful God. And Lord, but we know that sometimes we as God's people, Christians, are not faithful as we should be. Lord, sometimes we're tempted to slack in our walk with you. Sometimes we go backward rather than forward. And so I pray that you deal in our hearts today and help us to see this, the danger of this condition we call backsliding. And I pray that you might teach us this morning from your word. We pray if there's someone here today who's not does not know Jesus, that they would turn in faith to you today as their personal Savior. Give enablement to bring the message, and we'll thank you for what you accomplish. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning tells about the prophet Haggai rebuking Israel for slackness in not completing the temple of the Lord following the Babylonian captivity. They had come back from captivity, they had started the temple, but then it laxed and they weren't completing it. They had resorted to putting themselves first. And they were making sure their houses were neat and nice to live in, but the house of the Lord lied waste. They were backslidden from obedience to the Lord. They had stopped doing what God wanted them to do, and they were beginning to experience the result of their sin, and we read those results in the passage this morning. The term backsliding is not found in this passage, but the idea is surely seen in this passage when it's talking about Israel and what they experienced because of their lack of obedience to the Lord. Backsliding is a term which refers to sliding back in our devotion to the Lord. It refers to the practice of many Christians who at one time were devoted to Jesus. They walked close to the Lord, obeyed His commands, and enjoyed His fellowship. They read His Word on a regular basis. They talked to the Lord in prayer many times during the day. They desired to know His will for their life and to walk in paths of His leading. They enjoyed being with other believers as they attended church on a regular basis. And they loved the brethren of the church, and they sought to be an encouragement to the family of God. They were glad to serve the Lord at church, doing all they could to serve Him. They volunteered to help when things needed to be done. And they did not complain about their service, their sacrifice for the Lord. They gladly gave of the money that God allowed them to have, and they felt a privilege to give a portion of that and a tenth of that, which is a tithe, to the Lord for God's work. They experienced the joy of the Lord and daily said no to the temptations of sin. Yes, that Christian we've just described was moving forward in their walk for the Lord. They were learning daily to trust the Lord, and the more they trusted Him, the more they loved Him. They told others about the Lord, and they tried to lead others to faith in Jesus Christ. But then things began to change. Daily demands made them think they could not take time to read the Bible. They neglected the Word one day, and then 2 days, and before they knew it, a week had gone by without them reading the Word of God. They also did not pray as often as they used to. They began to miss one service a week. And then before long, that one service a week turned into just a couple times a month. And because they were not receiving the help that they should have from the Lord, from the Bible, from prayer, and from church. They began to see that the things of the world appealed to them more than it used to. They began to justify a few sins. They gradually began to approve of things that they never approved of before when they walked close to the Lord. What I've just described to you is a Christian that's called a backsliding Christian. They have slid back from where they should be or where they used to be with the Lord. Now, it's true that the term backsliding or backslidings only occurs 15 times in our Bible. And it's also true that most of the writers of Scripture never mention it by name. In fact, only Jeremiah and Hosea mention the term. And it always refers to the nation of Israel. Israel's a nation knew the Lord, and they knew what God required of them, but they refused to obey Him, and they slid back from where they should have been or where they used to be. Jeremiah chapter 3, one of the verses, he says this, "Return, ye backsliding children." In Hosea uses terminology that's a little humorous when you think about it, because it says this, "Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer." It's like it's a picture of a cow, and you're trying to bring that cow maybe up a hill, and the cow is rebellious, and the ground's slick, and the cow won't go, and it starts sliding back. It's a backsliding heifer. The word backsliding is not found in the New Testament, but the idea is there for sure. You see, we are often admonished in the New Testament to grow in the Lord, to grow in our faith, to increase in our love, to obey the Lord and to serve Him. We are warned that the devil is our adversary and we should resist him in the faith. We are warned that the world will try to conform us to its image and that the flesh will try to lead us astray. We are told to stand fast in the Lord and we're encouraged to forgive one another lest Satan get an advantage of us, the Bible says. We're told about the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation chapter 2 that had lost its first love. We're told about Demas that forsook Paul because he loved this present world. And we're even told that Paul faced temptations and he had to fight against his flesh. And the reason he did, he said, "Lest at any time I would be a castaway." And a castaway is someone sort of put on a shelf. God used to use them, but he can't use them anymore. And Paul says, "I do not want to be that way. I do not want to be a backslidden Christian. And I fight my flesh so that that will not happen to me." So it's possible that Christians can backslide. They can turn away from following the Lord and walking close to Him. The Scripture gives us examples of true believers that did just that. The Bible mentions David. David, a man after God's own heart, and yet he got away from the Lord. Gideon, a man that accomplished great things, and yet in the end of his life, he backslid from the Lord. Samson, so much a talent given to him and so much ability given to him, but he really gave it up for living out of fellowship with the Lord. Even Elijah, that great prophet of the Lord, who had that great victory on Mount Carmel, as he called down fire from heaven and the prophets of Baal were destroyed. And then he got a letter from Jezebel, and he was afraid because of Jezebel, and he fled for his life, and he asked that God would kill him. He was in a backslidden condition. And God had to say, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And he was away from the Lord. And then there was Jonah. You remember Jonah got the message from the Lord to go to Nineveh, but he refused to do it, and he tried to get away from the Lord and go another direction. And God had to bring him back. Jonah, a backslidden believer. And then there was John Mark in the Bible who went with Paul and Barnabas for a while, but because of troubles and because of pressures, for some reason, he went back and he didn't serve them. Now later he was restored and became a great servant of God and wrote a book of the Bible, but John Mark experienced that. Peter experienced that. And then many others experienced that, backsliding believers. So let's look at the subject of backsliding this morning. And let's do it with the goal in mind that we don't want to be a backslidden Christian. Now, I want to look at several things about this subject. The first one is this, the reasons for backsliding. What are the reasons that a Christian would be in a backslidden condition? Now, as I bring this message this morning, I understand that I don't know your hearts. There's no way I know what's going on in your heart. Only you do, and God does. And maybe some around you do. But I know that there is always the possibility that in the congregation there are Christians who are backslidden. They're not where they used to be. They're not where they should be. And so God wants to use the message this morning to speak to us about that subject. So the reasons for backsliding. Now, I can't give you all the reasons. I wouldn't even know all the reasons. But I'm going to give you some reasons for backsliding. First of all, a change in our attitude toward God. A change in our attitude toward God. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Love the Lord with all your heart. When we become a backslidden Christian, the reason that happens to us is because we cease to love, or we fail to love the Lord as we used to. Our love for the Lord lessens because we don't read His Word, we don't pray to Him and talk to Him, we don't do what He wants us to do, and it's all because we don't love Him. Contrasted to the psalmist's attitude in Psalm 42 when he said this, "And as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God." If we truly want to love the Lord and serve Him, and we want to obey Him regardless because we love Him for what He did for us, we will not backslide. But all of it, if it's true of all of us, we've all done that. We've failed to love the Lord as we should. And also, there's a lack of fear of God, a change of attitude toward fearing God. Many times, Christians who are living close to, or all the time, Christians who are living close to the Lord, they're fearing God. And that's in reverence to Him. And actually a fear of Him, because they know that it pays to serve the Lord. And not to serve the Lord, they would experience something like we read in the book of Haggai. You don't serve the Lord, and God loves you as His children. He'll take care of that, and He will discipline you. So when you don't fear the Lord as you should, you begin to backslide. Psalm 34, verse 9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." So there's a change of attitude toward God, about God. There's also a change of attitude about ourselves. Backslidden Christians have a change of attitude about themselves. They become number one. It's what they want. It's what they want to do. It's what pleases them. It's not what pleases God. It's not so much what God wants them to do, but what they want to do. And so they change their attitude about themselves, and they begin to think that they're number one, and they deserve all the good things that they want, and regardless whether it's right or wrong. And so they have a change of attitude about themselves. They also have a change of attitude about the flesh. Now, the flesh is ourself in a sense, but the flesh, the Bible speaks of as it's our sin nature. And all of us who are Christians have a sin nature, as well as the Holy Spirit living in us. But when we have a change of attitude about our sin nature, we get the idea that that we think that we're above, you know, falling and doing things that are really bad. And so we're not going to be a really bad person, but we're going to slack on some things. And we have a change of attitude about how serious the sin nature is. You see, if you give the sin nature an inch, it'll take a mile. And if you let down your guard and you let the sin nature sort of take over, then it'll come in strong. And so we have a change of attitude about our sin nature, and we don't take it as seriously as we should. There's also a change of attitude about the world. About the world. The world is an enmity against God. But when we backslide from the Lord, we have a change of attitude about the world. The world doesn't seem so bad as it used to. You see, we have a change of attitude about the world's position. The world's position is this. It is at enmity with God. In fact, the Bible says in James 4, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And we become friendly with the world and the world system. I'm not talking about people. We should be friendly with people. We should love people. But the world has its system. It has its ways. And it has its way of thinking. We become sort of friendly with that. The Bible says the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And so we have a change of attitude about the world. We think its position is not so bad. But God says the position of the world is bad. And it's against the Lord. Also, the world's promise is untrue. But if you backslide from the Lord, you begin not to believe that. The world does have some things to offer. The world's promise sometimes is true, you know, we think. And surely that won't be so bad if we're just a little bit worldly. But God says it is. God says it's very bad to allow the world to draw you in, the allurements of the world to entice you so that you want to be like the world. Its promises are untrue. David found that out. Samson found that out. Demas found that out. The promises of the world are not true. So a person who backslides has a change of attitude about the world. But they also have a change in attitude about the devil. And that is, the devil is our enemy. And a backslidden Christian sort of forgets about who the enemy is. And the Bible says we shouldn't be fooled by the devil's wiles. He's a very wily person. The devil is a deceiver, and he wants us to go against the Lord. So he deceives, and when we let down our guard and we backslide away from the Lord, we have a change of attitude about how serious the devil is and how dangerous he is. The devil is our enemy. He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so when we let down our guard and we have a change of attitude about these things, about the Lord, about ourselves, about our flesh, about the world, about the devil, then we can backslide away from the Lord. And then I want to look at something else. How can you tell that you're a backslidden Christian? How can you tell? I'm going to call this the readings of backsliding. What are the readings of backsliding? Well, there's a lot, and I won't anyway give you all of them, and I wouldn't even know all of them. I'm sure that there's all different appearances of these things. But there's readings of backsliding. One reading is this: a lack of love for God's Word. We don't desire God's Word. If we get to the place where we don't really want to read it, we don't enjoy reading it, we don't care to read it, we don't want anything to do with it, then it's a reading to us that we are beginning a backslidden condition. You see, what God in His Word talks to us. In prayer, we talk to God. And there's communion there. And so God communing with us, if we don't want to listen to God, it's an indication we're drifting away from the Lord. If your wife or your husband, you get to the place where you don't want to talk to them, you don't want to be around them, then that shows your marriage is in trouble. So when you don't want to talk to the Lord, you don't want God to talk to you, there's a problem. So a lack of love for God's Word. Also a lack of love for prayer. And prayer is actually our dependence upon the Lord. When we pray, we acknowledge that, God, we need you. We acknowledge that, Lord, we have to have you. We have to know your direction. We have to know what you want. And Lord, I'm facing this. I need your counsel. And when we pray, we're talking to the Lord, and we're showing that, Lord, we really need you. But when we lack prayer, it shows that we come to a place where we think we don't need the Lord. And we can go on without Him. And we can go days without talking to the Lord. And the Lord just say to us, that's a reading. You should be able to tell. That's a sign that you're in a backslidden condition. Another one is lack of fellowship with God's people. A lack of fellowship or love for fellowship with God's people. When you get to the place where you don't want to go to church and you really don't enjoy being around Christians, I've met people who are Christians, I mean who they say they're Christians, and they tell me, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to be around those people, I've been around church people before, and I've had bad experiences, I don't want to be in church. But I'm a believer. The Bible says, if you don't love the brethren, you don't love God. God does. I mean, I don't say that, God does. And so it's an indication of our condition when we get to the place where we don't want to be with God's people. And so a lack of fellowship with God's people. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. but exhorting or encouraging one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then there's another reading is our lack of witnessing to the Lord, to other people about the Lord, telling people about Christ. And we don't desire to do that. Yesterday, we were working out here, and something happened. A lady drove in, and she had a flat tire. I was in the back, and Joshua came back and said, there's a lady out here with a flat tire, and she's in a rental car. Well, I went up and started talking to her, found out her name, found out she was from Milford, Ohio, and found out she had an accident 2 weeks ago. Her and her daughter totaled her car, but they were not hurt. Thank the Lord for that. She was driving a rental car. The tire went flat, and we were willing to change it, and I said, we'll be glad to change your tire, but you need to check with your rental company to make sure everything's all right. And so she did. They said, that's fine, go ahead and change it. We thought that would be right, but so we changed the tire, and I was changing the tire. Some other men came to help. Then I got to talking to her and asked her if she was a Christian, if she had put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she said, yes, she had. But she said, I'm not going to church anywhere. And, that opportunity could have been there. And I said, well, the Lord let you have a flat tire so you could meet some of our people and you could be invited to church and you could come to church sometime. So maybe she will. Hopefully she will. But, God brings all kind of opportunities our way where we can tell people about Jesus. But if you've gotten to the place you don't want to talk about Him, you don't want to tell people about Jesus. You don't feel comfortable doing that anymore. You used to, but you don't want to anymore. It's a sign of a backslidden condition. Also, another thing is an increase of love for things. Love for the Lord has waned, but love for things has gotten more. And you really live for things. You just want things. Things become a burden. I guess all of you know that. You accumulate things and things get in the way. And things have to be cleared out. And things are a burden. All of us like things. But I tell you, when you let things control you, and you let things become your life, and you live for things, you work for things, you think about things, it's all the time accumulation of things and using things, and that becomes prominent in your life, then that's a sign of a backslidden Christian. When you approve things that you didn't used to approve. You can remember the time when you were close to the Lord. You walked with the Lord, you talked with the Lord, you loved the Lord. And there were certain things that you would not do, but now you find, well, they're not so bad. And I approve those things I wouldn't do. It's a sign of a backslidden Christian. A lack of desire to know God's will in your life is a sign of a backslidden Christian. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he says this, that ye may prove, that means put to the test for the purpose of finding out, the will of God. Do you really want to know God's will? I've got decisions to make. Do I want to know what God wants me to do? Lord, what would you want me to do? It might be something right or wrong, whether it's bad thing or good thing. It's just a decision. Lord, what would you want me to do? If you've gotten to the place, you don't even talk to the Lord about that. You just figure it out, do what you think is best, and you don't talk to the Lord. You don't desire His will. And that's a sign of a backslidden condition. Another sign is a critical, bitter, fault-finding spirit. That's only natural to be that way because a Christian is indwelt by the Spirit of God. I mean, He lives inside of us. And He's the one who gives us peace. He's the one who gives us direction. And when we start fighting against that, it's not unusual for us to experience a lack of joy. And because of a lack of joy, there's bitterness and there's complaining and a fault-finding spirit. If you find that you're in that position, you might want to check and say, Lord, I believe that's a reading you've given to me. I need to understand I'm not where I should be. I'm in a backslidden condition. And then there's the loss of love for the lost. You don't really care about sharing about Jesus. And that also is a sign that I'm not where I should be. Now, those are some of the readings, and there are many more. But let's talk about some of the results of backsliding. What are the results of being backslidden? The Lord makes it very clear. There are several things. First of all, there's the deterioration of your effectiveness in serving God. The deterioration of your effectiveness of serving God. You know, I've met people who go to church, they get in a backslidden condition, and they're still in church, but you can tell something's not right. And it's not long before it happens that they get out of church, but you knew it beforehand. There was something that wasn't right. They were going through the motions. They were doing what they always did, but something was lacking. Why is that? Because of a backslidden condition. I heard this past week of a man, and I never knew him, but I've known of him. He was a pastor of a church, and he was caught in immorality. And a wife and children and all that, lost his church, and just a terrible thing. And you think, what happened? What happened there? He was going through the motions and doing this as pastor, and yet all this secret sin in his life, and it finally came out. What happened? Well, way back, I don't know him, I don't know him personally, but way back, I'll guarantee you, there was a backslidden condition. Got to where he was away from the Lord, going through the motions, but he lost his effectiveness in the ministry because of sin in his life. Another thing is dishonoring to God. Dishonor to God. One of the results of backsliding is it brings dishonor to God. Backslidden Christians allow things in their life that dishonor the Lord. You remember David, when David sinned. The prophet said this to David, because of what you've done, you've caused great occasion of the enemy to blaspheme. They blaspheme God because of you. And your backslidden condition brings you to the place where you are bringing dishonor to God that you love, that saved you, and yet you've gone away from Him, and the result is He doesn't get honor like He should. And then the other result is discipline from God. God will sometimes discipline you. I mean, He'll always discipline you if you're a backslidden Christian. What does He do when He disciplines you? Well, there's several things that God can do. God, first of all, makes you miserable. Remember, David said this, Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. I used to have joy, but I don't have any joy anymore. You can't be a Christian and be happy in sin. I mean, before you're saved, you can be happy doing those things. You can be rejoicing in the fact that you're able to sin and enjoy it, but you can't enjoy it when you're Christian. If you're a true Christian, you can't. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you, and He convicts you, and He makes you uneasy, and He takes away your joy because of that. And so there's a lack of joy, and God makes you a miserable Christian. The Bible says in Psalm 51, David said this, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. And that passage, I just mentioned that, but that passage is in the passage where he talks about all the things that he went through because of his sin. Even affected his body and the way he felt. And it was because he was sinning. And he cries out to the Lord, I've lost my joy, and restore that unto me. So God can make you miserable. Another thing God can do when you're a backslidden Christian is God can touch your health. You remember in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Lord talked about people who were misusing the Lord's table. And he said this, for this reason, many are weak and sickly among you. Because you've been disobeying the Lord, many are weak and sickly among you. Now, we are never to say, I know why that person is sick because. No, you don't know that. I don't care how obvious it is. You do not know that. So don't say it. You don't know. But God knows. And sometimes that person knows. Is my sickness a result of my rebellion against God? It's not necessarily so, but it can be. And he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. So there's a result of backsliding. One of those is sometimes your health. God can also take your wealth. We remember we read in the beginning in Haggai. And the Lord said, you won't go and build the house of the Lord. And you're taking this, your monies and your treasures, and you're sealing your houses with the paneling and all that. And you're making it real nice and it's comfortable at your house. But you go to the house of the Lord and it lies in waste and it's rubble and it's not finished. And you're putting your priorities the wrong place. And so the Lord says, you know what's going on in your life? Oh, yes. You eat, but you don't have enough. You don't have enough of this, you don't have enough of that, and when you earn your wages, you bring it and put it in a bag, and the bag has a hole in it. The Lord says like this, you don't obey the Lord, the Lord loves you, he'll discipline you. And one way he might take your wealth. Oh, I'm still making the same amount of money, but it don't seem like I have anything. The Lord says, you're putting your money in a bag, and the bag has a hole in it. God makes holes in bags. God's the one that puts those holes there. And God can see to it that your wealth is affected because of your rebellion against God. And then God can touch your family. That's probably one of the most serious things to a person is to touch their family. Remember David again? You know, it's terrible. The man after God's own heart, that we have to use David as an example over and over again. And yet it says of David, he said, you know, the person that would do such a thing as use, take his neighbor's sheep that he only had one and he had a whole bunch and take his neighbor's sheep to kill it to feed somebody. That's a terrible thing. He should restore fourfold. And the prophet said, David, you're the man. Remember he said fourfold? Well, it began to happen. And the Bible says his child died. His sin affected his family. After that, you remember his daughter, Tamar. Her half-brother lusted upon her and raped her. And then Absalom, her brother, who was also a son of David, got so upset with Amnon that he plotted to kill him, and he killed Amnon. The baby child dead, Tamar raped. Amnon's the one that raped her, and then Absalom killed him, and then Absalom hung in a tree, his head caught in the limbs of a tree, and pierced through, he was killed. David, you said fourfold. One, two, three, four. You see, God says, I love you, and I care for you, but if you don't straighten up because I love you, there's several things I can do, and it might be your family. And then God also can take our life. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30 says, for this reason many are weak and sickly among you, and then he adds this, and many sleep. What's that mean? God killed them. Can God kill? Oh, yes, God does. And sometimes he takes a Christian home because he says, I'm not going to put up with it any longer. And he takes him on home. He's saved because he trusted Jesus. He's saved just like all of us, not because we deserve it, but because our faith was in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. But we won't serve him, and we're in a backslidden condition, and that continues. The Lord says, I reserve the right to just take you on out of here. And God can do that. That can be a result. But then another result, is last result we'll mention, is disappointment before God. And that's at the great white throne, not the great white throne, I'm sorry, at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord says that the Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and all of us will stand before him. 1 Corinthians 3 mentions that. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 5, Romans chapter 14. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 speaks of things being burnt up that we did that didn't amount to anything. And the Lord says, I'll take care of that at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand before him and we'll give an account. So if we've lived a backslidden life and we might be getting along, we think, but the day will come when we die. And the day will come when the Lord will take us, all Christians, before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll give an account. It'll matter then. You see, God says there's results to backsliding. But I thank the Lord that we can conclude today by saying also there's a remedy. You see, there's a remedy. And that's a wonderful thing. It's called grace. You know, you didn't deserve to get saved, and you sure don't deserve after the Lord saved you and then you won't live for him and you're living in a backslidden condition, you sure don't deserve for the Lord to restore you and give you a second chance. But he does. He does. And he does restore. And he wants to. So the remedy for backsliding is this. Repent. Now the word repent just means it's a simple thing. It means to change your mind. You repent. A person who's backsliding, they're saying, well, I'm not so bad. I'm not doing so bad. Or they'll say, the flesh isn't so bad. Or God's not fair. God's not treating me right. There are all kinds of things. But when you repent, you change your mind. And you say, Lord, I was wrong. You were right. I'm bad. You're good. I know that, Lord. And you repent. You change your mind. The Bible says in Revelation 2, the Lord was speaking to the church at Ephesus who lost their first love. And he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Change your mind. So if you are in a backslidden condition, you just come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm quit making excuses. I admit it's true. I'm not where I should be. And I need to change this. And Lord, I repent of that. I change my mind. And then the second thing, you confess your sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So we confess our sins, and confess just means to agree with God. God says it's wrong. All this time we've been saying, no, it's not so bad. God says it's wrong, and we say to the Lord, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. That's confession. I ask you to forgive me. And the Lord says he always will. Isn't that great? He always will. I've been a pastor for many years, and I'm still glad God always forgives. And you know, I absolutely ask the Lord to forgive me every day. Every day. There isn't a day goes by that I don't have to ask the Lord to forgive me of something. Because we all fail. If we don't fail with actions, we fail with thoughts. If we don't fail with what we do, we fail with what we don't do. We fail. And we need to confess it to the Lord and ask him to forgive us. The backslidden Christian doesn't use that 1 John 1:9 every day. He allows it to build up and build up and build up, and he continues in this wayward time. But the way he can get out of that is to say, Lord, I confess, and I ask you to forgive me. And the Lord says, I will. Every time, I will. Thank the Lord for that. And we confess. And then he says this in James 4, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So we repent, we confess, and we draw nigh to God. What's drawing nigh to God? Getting close to him. We didn't read our Bible, we start reading our Bible. We didn't pray like we should, we start praying like we should. We're not obeying the Lord, we start obeying the Lord. We're not loving the Lord, we start loving the Lord. We start depending upon the Lord, asking for his direction. We start trusting the Lord and loving him and draw nigh to him. The best thing you can do is draw nigh to God. Because he says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Isn't it great to know that I've been in a backslidden condition, but the Lord can remedy it all in just a few minutes. All we have to do is turn to him and confess it to him and then draw nigh to him. Say, Lord, I want to be close to you. Our daughter Jenny was talking to me just yesterday. She's going this week to see Anna in Florida in college. I don't think she'd remind me saying this. And she said, you know what Anna told me? She said, Mommy, I can't wait for you to get here. She said, all I want to do is just cuddle. I just want you to hug me. Isn't that great? You know, you never get too old to be hugged by mom and dad. She said, I just want you to hug me. Something real about being a little bit homesick. But you know, when you know the Lord and you loved him, but you've drifted away from him, there's nothing better than just getting it clear with the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I confess it. I don't make excuses. And Lord, I want to be close to you. And the Lord says, you draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. I guarantee it. And the Lord will love us. And then we get busy serving God. Serve the Lord. That's what we need to do. I know we've been a little long this morning, but Backsliding is a serious thing. And we need to make sure that if it's happening to us, we take care of it. If it's not happening, we need to make sure that we don't let it happen. Because God loves us. And He's a loving Father, and He'll discipline His own. So if you are backslidden, we hope that you'll come back to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for reminding us of this subject, teaching us today. Help us, Lord, to listen to You. Help us to draw close to You. Lord, I ask that You deal in each heart, starting with mine and everyone else, and help us to be where we should be with You. And I pray, Lord, that our lives would be a picture of somebody who's living close to Jesus. We pray in His name.